This is News in No Time. Ed Gordon on today's roundtable. The White House takes the gloves off, and did Diddy violate the law? Joining us from our bureau in New York, Robert George, editorial writer for the New York Post. From Spotland Productions in Nashville, Tennessee, Jeff Obafemi Carr. He's the host of the radio program Freestyle, which can be heard down there south. And joining me in our headquarters here in Washington, D.C., Tara Setmeyer, Republican strategist. All right, folks, we're going to play a couple of clips from the president and the vice president. We are seeing, and we'll start with the president, we are seeing the White House now. I guess someone has said enough is enough. The gloves are off. We'll listen to the president.
I expect there to be criticism. But when Democrats say that I deliberately misled the Congress and the people, that's irresponsible.
That is the president suggesting that he's tired of hearing Democrats saying that this White House misled America into this war. Dick Cheney came out, never one to hold his tongue. We heard from him yesterday. Let's take a listen.
That the President of the United States or any member of this administration purposely misled the American people on pre-war intelligence is one of the most dishonest and reprehensible charges ever aired in this city.
We actually heard, Tara Setmeyer, the word lie used yesterday from Dick Cheney as well for the first time, I think, publicly, that the idea that no one lied about this. Why do you think the White House, is it the sheerly the numbers and the idea that this is slipping away from them, that we're seeing the free swinging now?
Well, I think it's about time that they address this. I think they've allowed these inaccurate charges by the Democrats to go unfettered for far too long, and they've allowed the Democrats to redefine the war. What's interesting about this is that the Democrats are bringing back, they're rehashing old issues, and that there is nothing new about what they're saying here. These are the same arguments they used before the election a year and a half ago, and the American people didn't buy it. George Bush was reelected, and here we are a year later, and they're still saying the same things because they don't have an agenda. They don't have their own strategy to put forth as far as Iraq other than to cut and run, and that's unacceptable. The administration has really taken some body blows because they've stayed silent, and I think they've finally realized that, you know, dissent is valuable and necessary, but what they're doing by saying that the president lied is they're demeaning American values, they're demeaning the work that we're doing over there, and it's unfair for them to claim for the same intelligence information they had access to, the same reports, and everyone, words like unmistakable, it's unmistakable that Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction, et cetera, et cetera. But Bush, with the same information, well, he lied. He misled us.
Let me ask this.
Absurd.
Jeff, do you buy, and I'll let you pick up on whatever you want to hit Tara with, and I'm sure there'll be a couple of things, but do you buy this?
I can take it.
Do you buy this idea that the White House is putting forth that, hey, you had the information that I had? Don't you figure that the White House is probably going to have a little bit more information than Congress?
Well, yeah, of course. The White House is always going to have more information than Congress. And to me, this looks like a really bad case of domestic violence put into the American political landscape. We hear that, you know, this is the same old argument. You know, some people stay in relationships that are abusive for 20 or 30 years, and they knew the person when they got into them. They end up justifying it by saying, hey, you know, either he beats me because he loves me, or we're just going to continue to hang in here, and you knew this is the guy I was when you married me. We're hearing the same kind of arguments on the political landscape. Where there's smoke, there's fire. This is an old argument because these are facts that have been laying around forever, and just because the American people bought into one side or the other, it doesn't mean that the facts aren't straight. I've learned three things by observing this whole political landscape on both sides, the Democrat and Republicans, and just kind of being an independent free thinker who's not married to a party. I've learned that you need three things to be a successful political consultant, strategist, etc. You need Control C, Control V, and Pro Tools. And what is that? That means copy and paste. If you know how to copy and paste, you can just copy things, these charges, paste them in, and then just put your the other opposite side's name in the blank, because everybody's saying the exact same thing. One opportunist, they're using the words opportunist. pernicious falsehoods. The people lied to the American people. Everybody says the exact same things in accusing the other side. And I'm just wondering, when are we going to have some new arguments on either side?
Robert George, how much credence do you give to the idea? And we heard from Harry Reid yesterday suggesting that the White House is playing politics. But how much credence do you give to the idea that the White House is suggesting that, hey, you had the information that we had and you said it was okay for us to go to war? There is a reality there that said that the Senate and Congress could have said no to this. And back then, particularly during the presidential run, you didn't see folks brave enough to say no for fear of being cast as perhaps not patriotic enough.
Well, yeah, that's exactly true. I mean, and it's kind of funny. It's obviously, it's always funny, of course, for Harry Reid, or actually, as Jeff said, and really any one of the various political leaders of the parties, you know, to say that there's politics going on. You know, I'm shocked, you know, that there's gambling going on in Las Vegas, too. Look, the fact is, it is also, it is the case that obviously the Congress never has exactly the same intelligence as the president in power. That's a fact. And it is also the case, certainly, obviously, going into first the 2002 midterm elections, that's when you had the run up to the war. That's when Bush got the authorization from Congress. Less than a year after, you know, less than a year after 9/11, it was, of course, you know, it was very difficult for anybody to raise objections against putting pressure on Saddam Hussein. And then certainly in 2004 in the presidential election as well. All of these things are seen within the light of political pressures. That, by the way, is also the reason why a lot of Republicans in Congress are also getting very, very nervous, because they're looking at 2006 and they're looking at the fact that the polls right now, admittedly it's just a snapshot, but right now the polls have turned against them, have it turned against the war, and so they're starting to pass these resolutions to give them at least some kind of distance, kind of arm's length distance from the White House.
Tara, let me turn the political coin, though, and put to you the idea that, let's be honest, on the other side, the Republican side, it's hard even for Republican stalwarts like yourself to convince the American public that this war was about freedom. And that's what the White House has been doing now for months and months and months.
Well, it wasn't difficult in the beginning when the media covered it in a way that was honest. We cannot take away the influence that the mainstream media and the agenda that they have against this war. Social repetition creates reality, and that's a fact. When you cover the war 65% to 70% negative compared to the positives, and you constantly reiterate that Bush lied and pre-war intelligence was faulty and there was, you know, misrepresentation, the more people hear that,
but there are three letters that hang you up there. WMD.
That's true. And
which
I think
we never heard a thing about freedom until that fell apart.
Well, I think that the idea
of... We heard a little
bit
about freedom, to be fair.
Yes, we did. And I think that in concert, the whole idea
What, that they
of,
were going to free them of WMD? That's
well,
about the
no,
only
that
freedom
the,
that
no.
we heard about.
The world
no,
of
but
WMD.
That's right. That the world would be a safer place public. Without WMDs, and that as it was a national security interest for America and for the people of Iraq. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's if you mm-hmm. go back and look at Bush's speeches, the idea of freedom and democracy was incorporated along with WMDs. But just to reiterate one other quick fact, as far as the access to intelligence information, the senators who sit on the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence have just about as much information as the president does, and none of them were questioned what was going on or took responsibility, or they didn't say that they lied. Senator Jay Rockefeller, who's the chairman of that committee,
I'm not saying that happened in this case, but as we know historically, that may or may not be the case in terms of what the White House decides
And even the and even the national, I mean, the 2002 national intelligence estimate, which was one of the had one of the strongest foundations for going forward, was actually only partly declassified for Congress to look at, and the parts that were and I'm just saying this trying to be as objective as possible here in this particular case, the parts that were declassified were the parts that made the strongest
right.
Case for war, and the parts that remain classified were those that where the intelligence community had qualms.
Jeff, let me ask you this. We just heard from Claude Allen, domestic policy advisor to President Bush. He talked about all of the things that are on the domestic agenda for the White House. It's hard to push any of that. And when you look at his numbers, the president's numbers with African Americans, many of these policy agendas speak front and center to them. He's not going to be able to gain any ground at all. And by extension, the RNC, which has made a push to black voters, won't be able to if, in fact, this is what he has to go out and defend every day.
Oh, exactly. It's going to be hard to reach people. And I heard Claude Allen say some things like one of the statements that were that was affirming George Bush's position and his desire to help African-Americans was that African-Americans now want to start businesses more than ever before. And I said, wow, just you can gauge a desire. We've wanted to start businesses since we were robbed from our villages and brought over here on slave ships. We've always wanted our own thing. So I don't think that that's some point that you can make, that some people's desire to start their own business. If anything, it speaks to an economic climate where they feel like they're enslaved by corporate America and just want even more freedom. I think it's going to be hard to push any agenda. And when we relate this to the war, I think African Americans, the whole political landscape, all America was paralyzed. They were numbed with fear when we were given this opportunity. And the pictures of Saddam taking over the world and freedom being suppressed and these war weapons of mass destruction being unleashed on American people and terrorists coming and blowing up the country, all of these things numbed us at a time that was critical. So that's why people bought into the war. It's like offering, and I've assisted in two birth processes, so I've seen this happen. It's like offering a person who wants a natural birth the epidural. You offer that they are offered the epidural at the highest point of pain when it's like, well, you can't have it unless you have it right now. Then you won't be able to feel it. And they say, yeah, okay, go ahead and give it to me because the pain is overwhelming. And so we have been numbed like that, and that's what happened with this war, and it's going to continue to plummet, I think. 37% approval rating right now. And I think that really both sides are going to have to sit down and just be honest and just say, hey, look, we wanted to go to war. We went to war, and now we have to see how that affects America. And we want to go and fix that now and try to shift things toward domestic policy and just get out of Iraq.
All right, let me move us quickly to something that perhaps from the sublime to the ridiculous, or maybe it's the other way around. I don't know. but it's the question of a conservative organization filing a complaint against Diddy, he's called now, Sean Combs, in the Vote or Die campaign, suggesting that the campaign and, by extension, P. Diddy, was promoting John Kerry and opposing President Bush. The National League Policy Center filed the complaint with the Federal Elections Commission, and it charged that the Citizens for Change, which was the organization Puffy umbrellaed all of this under, which traveled to several cities urging young people to sign up, was using this really as a tool for Democrats. Robert George, this clearly, these monies were not set up for that. Of course, Sean Combs denies it, saying that he didn't endorse either, yet fingers were pointed at, for instance, one of these rallies when Leonardo DiCaprio suggested that people should vote for John Kerry and that Bush was not the way to go.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think, I mean, frankly, I think in his heart of hearts, you know, Sean Combs would be, probably would be happier with a President Kerry than with a President Bush. I mean, I think that's not too surprising.
I don't know, different tax bracket there, young man.
Well, I agree with that. I know it's like the Charles Barkley line. You know, when his mother asked him why he's voting Republican because Republicans are the party of the rich, and Charles says, "Mom, I am rich. We are rich." I think the fact is, this is like a lot of the campaign finance questions. he Vote or Die is, you know, it's, he's got it's a independent organization and so forth, and he says he's going out to register new voters, which I think is fine. If another organization or somebody from another organization or its sister organization happens to say, oh, you know, vote for Kerry, I think if they are technically speaking separate organizations and there's no coordination with the National Democratic Party, I think it's fine. And I'd say the same thing if the NRA wants to register people too.
Is this much ado about nothing?
I think so, and I think this is one of the gripes I have with certain conservative organizations. And not saying this organization doesn't point out some egregious violations, but in a case like this, and looking at it from a black community perspective, I think what Puffy did was well-intentioned, and I think it brought attention to the importance of voting and democracy and getting involved in the process for the 18 to 24-year-old demographic, an area where I think conservatives have lost a little bit of footing as far as being able to relate and how to draw people in. Now, I think the real question here should be, how engaged was the Republican Party in this effort? I know for a fact that when Puffy set this organization up, that he went to the RNC and he went to certain Republican circles and asked them to come to the table, and there was a certain disconnect there. So when he did make the effort, whether it was whether it was to be gracious or not, it can be questioned, but the effort was there. And I think that the greater question here is where can conservatives become more engaged, and how can they do that in an area like this? I think this is the wrong battle to fight.
Jeff?
Yeah, I would just graciously agree with Tara. She just put it in perspective brilliantly.
Well,
and
thank you.
I would say the same thing on this. I know, right? We all a lot of love going around today. But I will say that I would like to see more of a focus from both parties towards getting people to turn out to vote and be politically aware. And I understand everybody wants people to fall on their side of the political spectrum, and that's cool. I understand that. I think that we need to be able to move beyond just conceiving of our world within two political parties. Mm-hmm. But I think that both parties have a responsibility to first and foremost get people actively involved in the voting process. And then if you can bring them to that table, I think that they will be able to decide who they want and who they want to be with. But I think first and foremost, getting people to participate in the political process is important.
Exactly. I think if both parties would do a bit better job with the body politic and stop some finger pointing, you might get more people interested in voting if they believed that in fact it would make a difference, because
no finger pointing in politics
that don't. All right, Robert George, you were late, so you don't get the last word. Jeff Obafemi Carr and Tara Settmeyer, thank you very much.